The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
People are a bunch of frauds.
Welcome back, America. Ron DeSantis speaking truth to power about public health authorities yesterday. Governor Chris Christie, who used to do the same thing when he was presiding over the Garden State, joins me now. Governor Christie, I love stuff like that when people are just direct. You think Ron DeSantis is right?
Yeah, I think he is. And look, I think, you know, the problem is, Hugh, that you know, too many people acted like they knew everything when they were really walking around the dark room with COVID. And we should have had people admitting that instead of saying things that were definitive when we were working in far from a definitive world.
I just think Americans are looking for blunt talk about screw-ups in the past and the future. Governor, before we get to the elections on Tuesday, I got two things to ask you about. First of all, Andrés Giménez is hitting 298 and is an all-star. Ahmed Rosario is hitting 293 and is a great shortstop. We got Josh Wolf and Isaiah Green lighting up A-ball. And you got Frankie Lindor for 10 years hitting 260. How about that deal?
I still like it. I still like it, Hugh. We'll take it. Frankie Lindor is having a good year this year. 19 home runs, 74 RBIs, good OPS, and great defensive shortstop. You got some good players, and we got a good player, so everybody wins.
All right. Now I want to turn over to a different sports topic, Deshaun Watson. I'm asking you this because you were a prosecutor, and because you might have been in front of Judge Sue Robinson. She was in Delaware. I don't know if you know Sue Robinson or not.
I do not.
Okay. She hands down a decision, 6-game suspension. I'm not taking an opinion on this until everything is done. But first of all, she talked about nonviolent sexual assault. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No.
Okay, so Roger Goodell triggers the appeal process, which puts him in the absolute no-win situation of either upsetting black athletes who believe that white owners get off, or upsetting women for not taking seriously allegations of four cases of nonviolent sexual assault. But there was no prosecutorial process for Deshaun Watson. I'm really conflicted about this whole thing. What do you think about it?
What I think about it is that Roger Goodell has used, as you said, has put himself by appealing this now in an impossible position. Because quite frankly, I think the suspension and fine and penalties he just gave to the Miami Dolphins are laughable when you read that, in fact, the owner of the Dolphins did say in front of a number of people that we'd be better off losing games than we would be winning games. That people testified he said that to the coach. Now they're saying, well, he didn't really mean it. I mean, and he's suspended till mid-October. Now, are you going to – that affects the integrity of the game in a significant, significant way. And if he's going to give now to Deshaun Watson a much sterner suspension, which you have to believe that that's what's now going to happen, then if I were the black athlete, I would say that there are two different standards, one for the people who play the game and one for the people who profit from the game. And I think it's a real concern. I think that I didn't quite understand her, as I said to you, her characterization of nonviolent sexual assault. But in the end, too, there's got to be some sense of equity. And that's why I think the NFL should not have appealed. They're going to put this person in a position to make these judgments. Sometimes you're going to agree. Sometimes you're going to disagree. But by appealing, Roger Goodell has now put his own judgment regarding Steve Ross into the crosshairs as well.
And you got to go back to Brian Kraft and the massage parlor. You got to go back. Look, it's just been screwy disciplinary decisions forever, but this is pretty egregious conduct. That's what Judge Robinson found. Six games, and maybe Goodell comes in and says, I'm upholding her sentence because I want people to believe in the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement. But if he does anything else, honest to goodness, I don't know how he's survived in this league except by doing whatever the owners tell him to do.
Well, that's exactly what everyone's going to think. And when you compare what's happening to Steve Ross versus what's happening potentially to Deshaun Watson, I don't know how you justify that as the commissioner. Your job is to uphold the integrity of the sport. Now, both the conduct of Watson and the conduct of Ross impact the integrity of the sport. But how you could say that Ross is going to be significantly less of a blotch on the league than Watson would be if he increased that penalty. And also, you completely undercut Judge Robinson. So what do you have her there for if you're going to do that?
And one more round on this, Governor, because I Roger Goodell's been hating on the Browns forever. He destroyed Josh Gordon's career over smoking dope. And, I mean, the guy was out for 60 games. He comes back periodically. It's haphazard. It's stupid. The NFL's communicated stupidly, you know, protect the shield for years. They had a bunch of Democrats advising them. Is it time for Goodell to step aside? I mean, he's really got a record that's not defensible now.
Well, I tell you this, Hugh. I'm very going to be very closely watching what he does with Watson to determine that, because you negotiate a CBA that puts a judge in charge of these kind of decisions. And if the first time she does it, you're going to overrule her, you know, I don't know that somebody who continues to have credibility.
I agree. Governor, well, I don't know if I agree, because I what I think about Deshaun Watson is not on the table, but if I were the Browns, I would never have made this deal. That's what I think. But let me go to Tuesday
night.
By
the way, all the money being guaranteed, Hugh, in this circumstance, is wild decision. Wild.
The Browns have out-Browns the Browns. That's all I can say.
It's true.
Governor Christie, Tuesday night, elections all over the country. Kansas turns down a sort of abortion, anti-abortion absolutist referendum. Democrats are doing high fives and saying abortion is at the center of the elections in November. I do not believe that. I think that is one of those crazy false positives for the left that they run with. What do you make of Tuesday night's elections? First of all, Eric Schmidt won. Thank God we can win that seat. But what else?
Well, what I also make of the referendum is that, you know, voters are very, very reluctant to amend their constitution. They have a constitution that's done this. I think they're very reluctant to amend that constitution, and I think that's what the voters of Kansas showed. But I totally agree with you. I'm thrilled, Hugh, that the Democrats are high-fiving over this and are going to spend their time between now and November talking about abortion. Well, what the overwhelming majority of Americans are worried about in this country are runaway gas prices, inflation at the supermarket, crime in the streets, and the ejection of parents from the educational system of their children. That's what Republicans should be talking about nonstop between now and November. And if we do, and we don't take the bait on abortion, we are going to wind up having a substantial win in state houses and in Congress.
And in great large part because of the work that you and others did on the Republican Trust, that redistricting was fair overall. So the House is going to be Republican. Do you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. So the House is going to be Republican. It's coming down to the Senate and winning back the Senate. And I think we ought to run on China and inflation and jobs and education. But let me ask you specifically about Senator Sinema. And I'm assuming she wants to be president. She's in a unique position, almost unprecedented. She can have whatever she wants. And she wants to be president as a moderate Democrat. A lefty is moving to the center. What would you advise her to ask for to keep the Democrats and yet get Republicans to say, oh, that was smart?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the smartest thing she can do is say no, Hugh. It's just absolutely say no. If what she really wants is to be president, she will gain the admiration of a majority of the American people if she says during a recession, it is absolute hornbook theory that you don't increase spending by the government and you don't increase taxes on the people. And I think that the smartest thing, if what she wants, if your premise is correct, that she wants to be president, then the smartest thing she could do is say no and have everybody go home for August recess.
Okay, assuming that I agree with you, but she doesn't. And she decides, I'm going to stay a Democrat. I got to fend off a left-wing challenger in the primary in 2 years. I think it's 2 years. So I got to let this pass, but I got to get something. It's sort of like when Susan Collins gave a speech for Brett Kavanaugh. Everybody watched. It's when John McCain turned thumbs down. Iconic moments are rare. She can give a speech that everybody in the country will watch. What should she say in that speech, Chris Christie?
I think what she should say in that speech is to do what John McCain did and put thumbs down. I don't see anything that can justify this bill and what it does. And I don't think that she could give a speech getting something else, some other piece of pork or some other law change that could justify voting for a bill that increases taxes and increases government spending in the midst of a recession. I think the patriotic move is to do what I just said, which is to go down and be the next Arizona senator to put thumbs down on something and kill it in the Senate. And I think that's what she should do, and that's what her speech should be.
Now, China has thrown off a bunch of missiles this morning, some of which landed in Japan's exclusive zone. She could, if she was going to vote for it, say, we need to get serious about China, and I'm funding the Columbia class. I'm building Virginia. You know I'm a submarine nut, because I used to ask you about this. So would that's patriotic, too, to get our national defense up. Because, you know, Chris Christie, you're running for president. Everybody in the world's got to talk about China for the next 2 years.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Hugh. And I look, if that were something she would be willing to do and that she could get some of her fellow Democrats to vote for, I would be totally for that. I just don't believe that any of these Democrats want to increase defense spending in a way that makes sense to deal with the threat we're dealing with now, which is an aggressive China. And I don't know that they really care to do that. If they could, that would be a great thing to do.
All right, last question, Governor Christie. It's clear to me the former president is running for president again. It's clear to me that Ron DeSantis is going to go whether or not the former president runs, as is Mike Pompeo and Tom Cotton, as is Chris Christie and Larry Hogan, as is Ted Cruz, as is Nikki Haley. The vice president, Pence, is certainly running. Do you agree with my assessment we're going to need a podium for at least a dozen people?
I think it'll be less, Hugh, when push comes to shove. My guess is that it'll be somewhere between 6 and 8. And I think that we'll see people talking about whether the future of the Democratic Party, or the Republican Party rather, is as the party of me or the party of us. And that's going to be the decision that we're going to have to make.
You're going to be one of those 6 to 8 people. Who are the other ones you expect to run, Governor? Prized on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
I expect that we'll see what I do, but what I expect Vice President Pence will be there. I expect Secretary of State Pompeo will be there. I expect Senator Cruz will be there. And I expect former President Trump will be there. And I expect that current Senator Tom Cotton will probably be there. Beyond that, I'm less convinced of anybody else.
That's good. And so when should those conversations begin? I would like the debates to start in December and have one a month or one every 2 weeks.
Look, I think that would be great. I think that the appropriate time to start would probably be January of 2023, and let's have a full year of conversation amongst candidates before we start voting in Iowa, New Hampshire in the early part of 2024.
Boy, would that be great for the party, don't you think? That would be great for the Republican Party.
It would be fabulous for the Republican Party and for the country. And as long as everybody was asked hard questions and Hugh follow-ups, so that everybody is grabbed by the lapels and having to give answers and not just platitudes.
Now, who does that better than me, Governor?
Nobody, Hugh.
All right, like thank you.
get it off of those mainstream networks, Hugh, and let's get some real questions and real answers and free-flowing debate so the American people can see how the next president thinks.
100%. Chris Christie, thank you. Great comments on Deshaun Watson, by the way. We're going to type that up and put that out there because that's some serious, serious stuff. Thank you, Governor Chris Christie. Stay tuned. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined by Texas Senator John Cornyn. Good morning, Senator Cornyn. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Hugh. Good to be with you.
Congratulations on the red flag legislation, the school safety legislation. Congratulations as well on the CHIPS Act. I wanted the CHIPS Act for a long time. I got sponsors on this show like Micron.com that wanted it. I think you were the workhorse on both of those. Are you tired and ready to go home, but instead you have to stay there and fight the poorly named Inflation Reduction Act?
No, I mean, that we are. This is a goal line stand here against this misnamed piece of legislation. We're still waiting for the parliamentarian to go through the bill, and Senator Sinema has been quiet about where she stands on this. So it's far from a done deal, and we intend to fight it every inch of the way.
Now, I've been talking with guests this morning, Senator Cornyn. Senator Sinema finds herself in a unique position. I think when Susan Collins announced her support for Brett Kavanaugh, I think when John McCain turned his thumbs down, those were iconic moments in the modern history of the United States Senate. Senator Sinema is going to give a speech that everyone's going to watch. What do you think she'll say?
Well, I've been working closely with her on a couple of those pieces of legislation you just mentioned. I found her to be a very intelligent and thoughtful person. Obviously, our politics differ dramatically in many areas, but what I appreciate about Senator Sinema is she actually wants to get legislation passed, good legislation passed. And she wasn't consulted on this. This is a secret backroom deal between Manchin and Schumer. And Senator Manchin's done an Olympic-worthy flip-flop on his previous positions. And, you know, when he sees a tax increase on people making as little as $10,000, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, he says, well, no, that's not a tax increase. That's just closing loopholes. Well, I think it's an insult to the intelligence of the American people, what they're trying to sell. And like I said, we're going to fight it with everything we got.
There's 700 pages in there, and we're going to find out, like we did with Obamacare, special deals for Nebraska. What was that called? The Cornhusker kickback. We're going to find all sorts of stuff in there. But Senator Sinema, am I right? She can have literally whatever she wants.
Yeah, I mean, she could stop it, or she can say, I'm not going to vote to proceed until the parliamentarian has gone through this. As you know, that's a very arduous process. It's much like an arbitration with the parliamentarian deciding what goes in and what goes out, because, of course, this circumvents the 60-vote cloture requirement that's normally used in a budget process like this. So in return for a 50-vote threshold, you basically cannot legislate on what essentially should be a budget bill.
She could ask for a massive increase of defense spending to counter the Chinese threat on display this morning with missiles falling from China in the Japanese economic exclusive zone. She could ask for nuclear plants expedited in every state. She could ask for charter reform, charter school reform. She could ask for anything, Senator Cornyn. If she wants to be president, does she benefit the most by doing a John McCain thumbs down or by tailoring a special package that's patriotic and defense oriented?
Well, you're right. She has the ultimate leverage. But Hugh, as you know, this process also includes something which is frankly a little bit bizarre, a part of this process called the Votorama, which is every senator has an unlimited right to offer as many amendments as they want, and for an up or down vote that can't be blocked. And usually what happens at the end, there's a so-called wraparound vote, which negates all the Republican gains in the case in this case that were made with 51 votes, let's say, with Senator Sinema perhaps voting with Republicans, perhaps other Democrats voting with the Republicans. But none of this is certain. I would say it's far from certain. But there's going to be a lot of votes in this Votorama, which will contrast the positions of the Democratic Party with those of Republicans in ways I think will be helpful to us to draw those contrasts in the November midterm elections.
Yeah, I've been lobbying Senators Toomey and Cotton to limit the number of those so we can focus and really focus on those contrasts. But in the end, that wraparound amendment, am I right? It's whatever Kyrsten Sinema wants in that wraparound amendment, she's going to get in that wraparound amendment.
You're exactly right.
So she can ask for literally the expansion of the fleet to 350 ships. She can ask for nuclear power expedited. She can ask for the reform of the education spending. You've talked to her a lot. She's really smart. Am I right about that?
You are right about that. And I've found her, like I said, somebody who is good to work with. it's interesting. Years ago, I learned in the Senate that you can be fighting with somebody like cats and dogs one day, and the next day you're working with them to do something that accommodates your mutual interests or common interests. And that's just the nature of the job. But I found that when she is determined to get something done or to not do things, she can be a very stubborn person in a good way, I would say.
Well, I hope she does that in a good way. If she's going to vote for this nightmare bill, I think she should give it the thumbs down like John McCain. But if she goes forward, I hope she at least gets some defense against China. John Cornyn, you've been busy. You're still there fighting, and I appreciate it. Senator from Texas, thank you. And thank you, Adam. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, General Easterman. We're going to post the audio and transcripts of Chris Christie and Jim Gary, the audio of John Cornyn. If you missed it, you ought to be subscribed to the Hugh Hewitt podcast. Highly concentrated you. You ought never to miss that. And you ought not to miss tomorrow's Hugh Hewitt show. America, bonjour. Hi, Canada. From Studio Winterfell, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Joined by Garrity the Indispensable. Jim Garrity, of course, at National Review Online. You get his morning newsletter, The Morning Jolt, if you are a smart person. Good morning, Jim.
Hugh, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I was just exploring with Jim Talent that Senator Sinema is in a unique position. She can have whatever she wants. Literally, it's abracadabra time. The genie's in the bottle. She gets three wishes for anything that she wants. And she wants to stop the carry interest forward provision. I mean, she could put a nuclear plant in every state. She could rebuild the Navy. She can get whatever she wants, and that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wrote something late yesterday in the corner speculating that I think, despite the fact that all the pressure in the world is going to come on her, is going to bear down on her, if she were to say, nope, I can't sign on board with this, like that would kill her in a Democratic primary in Arizona a couple of years from now. That would make the treatment she's had so far of being chased into the bathroom look like nothing. So I suspect she wants to get to yes. She wants to get a version of a bill that she can sign on to. But I also think that time is on her side because we're getting closer and closer to the midterm elections. There are a bunch of red state senators or purple state senators who probably would rather not have, if they're going to vote for tax hikes, they want to have that as far away from election day as possible. And they're supposed to go on recess, I think, at the end of this week. I mean, I suppose you could delay it a couple of days if you feel like you got a bill. But these guys got to go back home and campaign. So they don't want to spend the whole fall tied up in these drawn-out negotiations over this tweak or that tweak. I'm sure the Michael Bennetts of the world are like, just give Sinema what she wants, let us get out of here, and let me get back to Colorado or Georgia or Arizona so I can run for re-election.
Well, all of those incumbent Democrats are going to have to answer their voters why they didn't get what Sinema gets. But is there any chance in your view? Senator Sinema is an interesting person. She began as a radical. Then she became a Green. Then she became a left-wing Democrat. Then she became a moderate maverick Democrat. Could she go Ben Nighthorse Campbell and just go all the way and say, I'm the new Reagan? I have been here for 4 years, and these people are just not working in the best. I'm going to be a Republican. I'm going to join with Susan Collins and Shelley Moore Capito, and we are going to represent the center of the new Republican Party and the center of America, and we are going to make stuff happen. Any chance, Jim Garrity?
Extraordinarily unlikely, at least as the Republican Party is constituted today. I do think maybe she does an Angus King, some sort of I'm an independent, but I caucus with the Democrats sort of thing. Could the Republican Party eventually bring her over? I look, stranger things have happened. I suppose it's conceivably possible. But it would probably have to be a different Republican Party than it is right now. Because for all of her frustration of Democrats, for all of the fact that she puts her home state values first, for all of the fact that she is not willing to toe the progressive line, Hugh, we should not fool ourselves. This woman is not a conservative.
But she is in a position so unique. There are very rare moments in America when a senator holds it. John McCain, thumbs down. Memorable moment. Susan Collins' speech announcing her vote for Brett Kavanaugh. The whole country watched. Senator Sinema gets to go to the well and say, I will vote for this if ABC, or I won't vote for this because ABC. And that becomes an iconic moment in American politics. If she goes with, I will vote for this, but you've got to add ABC, and you want to establish your position in American history, what is ABC? It's not carry forward interest.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the irony of seeing the, you know, what's in the 15% minimum tax, and let's say she brings it down to 14. Right? I don't think something like that is going to be the kind of change that I think people will say that was a waste of leverage and, you know, is really kind of window dressing changes on the bill. I think it was interesting to see Manchin, you know, this guy who represents the state most focused on coal, sign on to a climate change bill and promoting electric vehicles and all that kind of stuff. I think if you were her, you want to make the you know, like everybody in the Democratic Party is we're transitioning to this alternative fuels, we're transitioning to environmentally friendly energy, and we are living with the consequences of attempting to make that change too quickly. So, if one of those things where you can say, we're going to make this transition much slower, we're going to make this transition much more gradual, we're going to make this transition so that it does not end up with a giant energy cost burden on the middle class and on Americans from coast to coast. Maybe something like that would strike the right note and really kind of elevate her, you know, get the people talking about, wow, that's the kind of person who should run for president or something. Like
well, Jim, you just nailed it. But I don't think you nailed the second part. That's what she wants. Boy, that's the kind of person who should run for president. Hugh Hewitt thinks, because I'm Hugh Hewitt, if she comes out and says, oh, look, I'm from a desert state, so this isn't going to make any sense, but the Chinese Communist Party is killing us, and they're about to go to war in Taiwan. And so I'm going to repurpose half of this spending for the United States Navy, and we're going to buy attack submarines and the Columbia Boomers, and we're going to accelerate shipbuilding in states not my own, because the national defense is withering on the vine and the Chinese are dangerous. Or that, Jim Garrity, gets everyone to say, wow, right? I mean, put your big brain to this. She can have anything she wants.
It would. I think the problem is one, you then say, and all the components for those submarines will be made in Arizona. You've got to have to do
true.
Something that would help out her home state.
Well, she can ask for two things, drought relief and a Navy. I mean, she could ask for nuclear power plants in every state. She can ask for anything. It really is an Aladdin's lamp moment, and it will tell us so much about her. I think she's very smart, by the way. Guy Benson used to debate her at the University of Colorado World Affairs Forum every summer, and he said she's very smart.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's interesting is how she's played this and the degree I mentioned, you know, her being chased into the bathroom. And one of the things that I've, you know, if you're right of center, having seen her just be absolutely abused, absolutely denounced, demonized, frothing at the mouth, like the progressive left should not get a win out of this from her. After treating her allegedly an ally so badly, and that's why I don't want to see her. You know, one, you don't want to see her make a deal. Two, you don't. If she's going to make a deal, you want to see her punish those people. You know that they should not come out of this as winners after they misplayed their hand so badly.
Right. You know, interesting. That's an interesting point. I wrote a column for the Washington Post on, you know, if the Republicans could get anything out of this mess. The other two things were publicly funded charter schools and private charter schools, infrastructure spending. It fits under the parliamentarian rule, or limits on curriculum overreach by the left. I mean, there are things she could do to put herself on the map, but she can't waste it. Right. And I hope the morning jolt tomorrow is if I were Kristen Sinema. Is it Kristen or Kirsten? I never get it right.
Kirsten.
Kirsten.
So she has the most difficult to spell name because it's got a Y in the Kirsten. And cinema begins with S and not with C, which my spell check will apparently never understand.
Yeah. So Kirsten Sinema is sitting in her office. She's surrounded by staff telling her to ask for A, ask for B. She ought to be reading everyone on what she ought to do. I mean, if I were the editorial page of the Washington Post or the New York, I would write in the National. What should Sinema ask for? Because it's really a moment at which it is a Susan Collins, Brett Kavanaugh, John McCain thumbs down. Is there any other comparable moment? Jim Talent said Ben Nighthorse Campbell had a moment like this once and got spending controls, but those don't last. I mean, you got to get something physical, don't you?
I think you're correct, and I think the other thing that kind of jumps out at this is so a lot of, you know, folks on the right who had spent, you know, a good portion of the last year loving Joe Manchin and throwing roses at his feet and, you know, thinking how terrific he was, we're kind of, you know, blindsided by this. And I think there's some of us who'd say, well, actually, probably we shouldn't have. This man was a Democrat for a reason. This man had many opportunities to change parties.
And his career is over.
Yeah,
and
I'll be like, so he's old. I wonder if they look at the upcoming midterm elections and see this shaking out as 52 to 48 in either direction. I think Republicans are not doing as well in the Senate as they should be. But at that point, starting January 3rd or whenever they swear in the new members, you lose this leverage. It's not a 50-50 Senate anymore. And you don't have this power. So it's one of those things where I wonder if Manchin's attitude was, this is my moment of maximum leverage. And if I go this way, I get the progressives off my back. I get a whole bunch of stuff from my state. Everybody loves me. Everybody on the left who's been hating me for a year loves me. And I get to go back to West Virginia and say, look at all this stuff that I got you in exchange for signing on.
And then I retire and I lobby and my Democratic friends will talk to me. But if you're
Cinema, it reduces inflation because we changed the name.
Yeah. But if you're Cinema and you're, I assume she wants to be president, which is what I assume about every senator ever. If you want to be president, what do you ask for that the Democrats can give you and that the Republicans would applaud, right?
What you're observing there also is a national security, foreign policy. You know, if she wanted to run, you know, she's young by the standards of presidential candidates. I think a lot of us would find that refreshing, delightful change to not have the equivalent of Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau up there as grumpy old men in some sort of presidential campaign. This would be great. But, yeah, this is, you know, she's a bit down the road, I suspect.
Can I get a commitment for the Morning Jolt to dwell on this subject tomorrow? Because when the Morning Jolt is about one subject, it always jolts me.
I don't know if you. No guarantees.
No guarantees from Garrity the Indispensable. That's he's just like Senator Sinema. No guarantees. But Jim Garrity, the opportunity is in front of you, too. I'll be right back, America. Thank you, Jim. Don't go anywhere. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.